Welcome to the Live Free and Ham Nightly Net. I'm your net control operator, M1JUR, and we're going to be talking with a bunch of net control guys tonight, and hopefully you'll stick around and stay tuned. Well, hello and welcome to the Free and Ham Podcast. This is our weekly show where we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. And we're thrilled to have you here as always, and whether you're a regular listener or tuning in for the first time, we thank you for joining us and hopefully you enjoy tonight's episode. So, before we get into the show, I'm your host as always, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm flanked with my co-hosts.
Hey, it's Paul, N1OG.
I'm Todd, W1STJ.
And we have two guests tonight. We have, go ahead and introduce yourself, Tim.
Tim, KC1QDK.
And Mike, KC1URG.
All right, cool. Okay, well, with that, let's continue on here. And so, just as we always do in our usual fashion, before we get into topic, we'd like to catch up on a few things. Again, our storefront is over at livefreeandham.com/shop. You can always head over there, check out some of our merch. And we have a couple of new things, actually, in the brewing and the works there that we're going to be releasing soon. We'll probably, if you are a Patreon member, you'll see those start showing up on Patreon first. So if you want to get first dibs on those, make sure you head on over there and check that out. But as always, you know, we thank everybody who has purchased on the store front. And, you know, we say we thank you for supporting us. So as always, you know, you can get in touch with us any number of ways these days, just short of carrier pigeon. But you can always use our regular modes of communication. And every show note and all of our videos and podcasts, we have an SMS link. You can click that and send us a quick text. Tell us how you feel about the show, what's been going on, and share some of your cool do-goods, or just, you know, say hello. And we'll make sure we share that in our next episode. And you can now leave us a voicemail. You know, we finally decided to open up the lines, and you can share your deepest thoughts. You can express your devoted love to the show, or you can even tell us we all need to renew our warranties on our HF radios. Either way, you can you know that we're here to pick up your message, and we're going to share it on our next episode. So if you want to leave us a message, you can always dial 978-233-1142. And like we say, don't wait any longer. We have volunteers standing by to take your message. So we're looking forward to that. Keep those coming. And as we get them, we'll be sharing them. And as always, we have the usual conventional rail snail mail where you can send us an email. And you can do that to livefreeandham@gmail.com. And as always, we do a once-a-month live stream, including our weekly episode releases. So make sure you head over to our YouTube channel, hit subscribe there, and hit that alert bell so you get notified when we go live, because we vary from time to time when we actually do our live stream. So we're almost like a moving target, which makes it a little bit more challenging for folks if you're living a busy life. But that's the easiest way to get notified when we go live. And lastly, you can always become part of our Patreon community, because as a subscriber, you are get granted immediate access to our uncut episodes. So all of the shenanigans that happened tonight with this episode are all in the back catalog there. You will definitely get some laughs out of it. And you know, see how we really know how to be professional around here. So with that, you can head over to our Patreon page, check it out, and as little as $3 a month, you can become a Patreon member, get access to all of our episodes before they're released on the podcast and on our YouTube channel, and get access to a lot of the free stuff we give away, discounts, and a number of other cool things. So. All right. Well, with that, we have two of our usual segments, so we're going to kind of speed through a little bit because we got nothing in the inbox there. So we are going to just basically quickly go through and say, you know, with our mailbag that, you know, nothing was in the mailbag this week. So sorry to hear about it, but hopefully, you know, next week we'll get more coming in. And we like to say, as always, you know, you just need to use those three methods, SMS, email, and send us a voicemail. Simple as that. We make it easy for you. You know, we want to share those messages. So, you know, keep them coming. And as always, we got a do-good episode. But this week, we don't have one either as well. So we figure what we're doing tonight when we're talking about net control operators, there's a lot of do-good already going on here. So we're going to share some of that in depth later in the episode. But again, you can always submit your do-good episode through SMS, through using our voicemail phone number, or send us an email. Or, again, if you are one of those type A people, send us a Winglink message. You know, we've had a few in the past, and if we receive it, and you want to make sure you send it to N1OG because mine does not work, you can send it to N1OG, and we will make sure we read it on the next episode. And we will invite you, and you're more than welcome to come on our next live stream. So one way, if you want to get in to hang out with the crew here on live live stream shows, then that's one way to get in on the action there. And so with that, we do have, however, one of our favorite segments we love to do, and is very much a local staple here. Hopefully it's going to start to die down eventually. But, you know, for right now, it seems to be taking a front row center here.
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
Picture.
All right. Well, you heard picture. It here.
This. I sent you a picture.
Yeah. I just got up yesterday. My gosh. Wow. Just like I'm sitting around waiting for Todd to show and dump pictures of my mom so I can update it. It took you 3 weeks to get it to me. All right. Well, you've heard it here. We'll be updating our, little something extra intro in the future episodes. But this is where we help Todd study for his extra class license. In each episode, we pick three questions from the extra class question pool to test his knowledge, hoping he gets his upgrade. And we are very much hoping and praying and lighting candles and doing everything possible in this world so he continues. And he's been doing an awesome job, I have to say, you know, because he was hitting the home runs out of the park, 3 for 3s for the past couple of 3 or 4 episodes. So keep up the great job there. So if you'd like to follow along, you can always head over to hamstudy.org, which is a great resource to help prepare for your test and is recommended by 3 out of 4 VE volunteer examiners because the ARL never wants to respond to our comments. All right. So without any further delay, take it. BE Quizmaster, Paul.
All right, Todd. So sticking with sub-element number 5, your first question is, what is susceptance? Is it A, the imaginary part of admittance, B, the ratio of magnetic field to electric field, C, the magnetic impedance of a circuit, or is it D, a measure of the efficiency of a transformer?
I should pay attention to this. I have to answer.
All right.
Oh, there's no music. You can't think.
I know. I'm waiting.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm kicking it off now. Sorry. My finger's just a little slow on the button today. Not like we haven't done 15.
I'm going to go with A. Come on, Eric.
I'm going to go with
Tim,
D.
You know, you've been studying.
I'm going to go with D. Ooh.
How about you, Mike?
I'm gonna go with B. I'm just shooting from the hip here.
All right. Todd said A.
All right.
Bam! And A is correct, and all the rest of you are wrong.
Great job! Emotional damage.
So for those that don't remember, this is a definition, so you just have to remember it. Admittance equals conductance plus J subsistence.
All right. Next question.
All right. Question number 2. What is an effect of increasing Q in a series resonant circuit? Is it A, internal voltages increase? B, fewer components are needed for the same performance? C, phase shift can become uncontrolled, or is it D, parasitic effects are minimized?
I'm going to go with A, internal voltages increase.
I'm with A. I know this, and I can tell you why I know this.
All right, Tim, Mike, do you agree? A.
Well, if you guys are saying A, I'm going to go with A.
Okay. Everybody's saying A. Bam! And A is correct.
Woohoo! All right. I need to confess, because I was listening to HRCC podcast today, and Leia was testing her extra questions, and this one came up, and I don't know why I remember it, but I remember the increase is the increase, and they were like, that's a really dumb answer, like, to remember it, but hey, why not? So
it stuck. Increase is the increase. All right, Todd, so far, right. You're 2 for 2.
God, I'm going to hear that song.
I have to get the third.
I have to hear the song.
And final question. What is the relationship between the AC current through a capacitor and the voltage across the capacitor? Is it A, voltage and current are in phase? B, voltage leads the current by 90 degrees. C, voltage and current are 180 degrees out of phase. Or is it D, current leads the voltage by 90 degrees. You should know this.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't we test on this one?
All right. It's either B or D. I'm going to go with B.
Okay, Todd says B.
All right.
Eric?
I'm going to go with B. I have the gut.
I'm almost positive it's B.
Tim?
Go with D.
I'm going to go with D just to be different.
What do you say there, Mike?
I was going to go with D because doesn't voltage push amps or something? Forget now.
D for different.
It's going to be technical, my friend. What, you could rational,
my background, so we'll
see. I almost said C because it's longer.
Right.
All right. Todd, you said B, yes, right?
By number of letters or words.
Oh, no. The correct answer is D.
I knew it was one of the two.
Current leads the voltage by 90 degrees.
That's awesome. I finally got one of these questions right.
Yes, now you're an extra.
So if you remember Eli the Iceman, we've gone over this before, but
clearly it didn't stick in my head.
There's your answer. And here's your hint. Current leads voltage.
Just like Mike said.
In the question.
Good job, Mike.
I'm still an extra.
And I'm still a general. Yeah,
yes, it is. All right. Well, so if you're on the journey to studying for your technician general or extra class like Todd, in that case, hamstudy.org is an awesome resource for getting your ticket. And just as a bonus, we're going to remind you again, we got those guys coming on from hamstudy.org. So we're looking forward to having that in our future episodes. So make sure if you haven't already subscribed to a podcast, there's a good reason for it. All right. Well, so again, and if you also received your upgrade or maybe you're a brand new technician, you know, we want to make sure we recognize you. So send us an email, send us an SMS text, or feel free to use our phone voicemail and leave us a message, and we'll be happy to share it. And we'll celebrate for all the hard work and effort you put to getting your upgrade or maybe your technician first time out.
Yeah. Mr. Trent Smith, he better send us an email when he gets his technician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on. We should phrase that he was on Paul's live stream 2000 giveaway, and you know he's got a great radio coming his way, and he's working on a general. So, he's working on a general, right? I think he said he was
technician.
Technician. That's right. Okay, he was going to take it. So awesome. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to make sure we get him on. All right. Okay. So with that, we've kind of wrapped up our usual stuff. So let's get into our usual. We're going to talk about our ham radio week. So Paul, if you want to go ahead and start us off, how was your ham radio week, bud?
Well, did a bunch of hunting some parks on the air, and I've got an amplifier project that is going to be coming up this week. And so I've been planning and preparing for that. This Alpha 374 is a fantastic old amplifier. The one downside is the amplifier output is an RCA connector. And so I'm going to be removing the RCA connector and making the hole a little bit bigger so that I can put a SO239 in there.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Nice.
Cool. Well, make sure you unplug it from 230 there before you decide to make many modifications. Just as a, you know, just I won't ask me how I know, but all good there. And very cool on the hunting and photo there. So, Todd, how was your ham radio week, sir?
About ham radio. Had a good dream the other night about making crazy contacts to space. But no, ham radio, just.
Yeah. That's a first.
Well, still haven't gotten out to my park. Work's been crazy. But I am talking on the net. I did get to talk to Casey. Casey won NID this morning. Hadn't talked to him in a while. So we had a little chat on the way into work. It was quite cold this morning. I don't know if any of you guys were up bright and early, but it was 14 degrees, I think.
Cold.
So, yeah. So that's about it for now. but I'll have a huge story once I get out there and do my next POTA because it'll be like brand new for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel like you did your first POTA all over again.
I'll be so enthusiastic about it. What about you,
cool.
Eric?
All right. Well, good on that one. And
ham radio.
We'll divert to our two guests here because I should have started with those folks first because my rude manners, I just kind of went into the regular flow because, you know, I'm a knucklehead. But anyway, so over to you, Tim. So how has your ham radio week been?
So far, I've been having a pretty interesting week. I've been planning a camping trip, and like Todd said, it's pretty cold, and I'm going to be doing a 160-meter POTA activation, and it's going to be at the base of Mount Monadnock, and I've been getting all my gear together and got my antenna all set up, and I get all my gear together, and Kim and I have been running around getting our stuff ready, filling the propane tanks. We got our tent all ready to go. And we actually went out to Mount Monadnock yesterday. And I set up a QRP rig at the campsite. And we're going to be all have a nice fire there. And it's like we got plenty of room to put up that 100-yard antenna. It's about the size of a football field. So it's going to be pretty exciting. Looking forward to doing that this weekend. So that's what I've been up to.
Very cool. Well, they say this 160 is a big man's game, and that's no doubt with the antenna for sure. Awesome. Well, nice on the recon. I am impressed that you spent some time going ahead to figure that one out and got you know some of that stuff done. I know that same weekend we're going to probably be doing a little Pac-Man ad knock, so we're doing the mini mountain, not the big guy. So you know you're way leaps and bounds ahead of us there. But all good and definitely you know fun to hopefully well it's gonna be CW so I might have to bring out a decoder or something to see if I can make contact with you.
I have one so come and visit. Okay.
we'll definitely try. So awesome on that. Well, cool. All right. Well, with that, hey Mike, how is your ham radio week, sir? What's been up to?
Not a whole heck of a lot. I was able to get a mast for from. A1TX, so I was able to put up my antenna a little higher. Gonna like to go up another 5-10 feet, so we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But the other thing, I've been messing around with the fusion on the FTM 500 here, and I previously got some good contacts in the UK, Ireland, and just last night before the net, the really large net we had last night, I talked to a couple guys in California. But yeah, pretty cool. Definitely fun. A lot to learn with it still, but good stuff.
That's awesome. So you dabble in Fusion, which are you, you said you talked to a few guys on Fusion. Are you going through like the Wolf Den or like a couple other nodes?
Yeah, cool. Yes.
I see. Always curious, how's your experience with that Fusion World Digital? Like, you just kind of slide right into it and just, you know, it was kind of comfortable to you versus the analog world, or did you have to adjust to it, or, you know, what's your experience with it?
Been to the short time I've messed around with it. I got the radio back in August, and I've only recently, last month, started playing around with it, but I like it. I think it's just the fact that you can, if you think about it, being able to hit a repeater over here on the mountain and be able to talk globally like that is just pretty amazing. So I'm all about it. I like it. But I know there's a lot of old school people out there like the analog better.
Hey, you know, I like both. Fusion definitely has stepped in, and even the digital side of the repeaters has helped in giving me that little extra mile that I might need in where analog just kind of falls out. So, yeah, I support you, man. It doesn't really matter as long as you're playing radio and you got, you know, some form of it, whether it's application software based or you're on an HT, you know, talking halfway around the world. Yeah, you got, you know, aces in my.
So, Mike, you do know that on your radio, you can actually change the room you're in on the Gostown repeater. So if you want to go to America's right. Net, you can change it. And then after you're done transmitting after a certain amount of time, it defaults back to the Wolf Pack or the Wolf Den, whatever they call it.
Right. Yeah, I did notice that. So, yes. Yeah. So going back, Eric, yes, some contacts were made through the Wolf Den, which I think was last night to California. But the other ones... we're in Scotland and Ireland or whatever it was. I forget which one it was on, but it was in a different room. I think the it was based out of maybe it was California or Missouri, something. I cannot remember now. It was a while ago. But I like it too because I don't need right now to buy an HF rig to be able to. No, I know I understand it's a totally different animal altogether.
Oh no, you're in the circle of trust here, my friend. There's no need to worry about explaining whether you like the HF through, you know, talking halfway around the world while on a VHF UHF connection or HF. They're all the same, man. We're all talking radio. So the fact that you're out there busting and making contacts, then you know, you got, you know, like I said, thumbs up for me. There's just no doubt in my mind. And anybody has gives you crap, you send them over to Olive Free and Ham. We'll take care of them. We'll just, you know,
all right.
we'll fix his wagon.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've got DV Scotland on my Ham Shack hotline, and I listen to DV Scotland all the time. Fantastic, yeah. Peter.
So, Mike, real quick, I don't know if you've ever heard, you know, Carlos. He does terminal velocity. He skydives and does ham radio out of the plane. So before I actually knew him, I knew of him through his YouTube channel, and I was driving home from work, and I was on the Gostown repeater, and it was set up to America's Net, and he was on it. So him and I talked, and it was the first time I was actually on America's Net, and it was actually the first time he was. And then when we, years later, were doing the ham radio, the podcast and stuff, he's like, oh, I remember that. He goes, yeah, that was you I was talking to. That was my first time on. So it's kind of funny, but yeah, you'd be some,
yeah, it's always memorable,
and it is cool. We had one time, I don't, do you go on that net, Mike, the Wolfpack net at all? It's on
a
Friday nights. So
yeah, when I've heard it a couple times, yeah,
it was getting pretty big, and one time the guys from Yaesu jumped onto the net from Japan. So that was kind of I was on that net, and it was pretty cool that they had checked, one of the guys from Yaesu checked in from Japan and join the net because I guess it was getting a lot of traction and was getting pretty popular. So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Nice. All right. Well, we've got you know, last minute entry here, and it seems like he's been juggling both another net while he's still on this podcast as well. So I gotta toss it over to Ralph there, and hopefully he hears us in the background. And you know, I'm asking, you know, everybody here how their ham radio week is. You know, go ahead and chime in. We'll unmute you there.
Well, how are we doing there, guys? I got you here on the cell phone. Better. Is this working okay?
Nice. We got you loud in 5.9s.
Wow. I tell you, cell phone technology, huh? what's going on, guys? I mean, I didn't hear the question. I just finally connected about 2 minutes ago. What's going on?
Well, we were asking everybody how their ham radio week is. So if you want to just, you know, let us know what's been going on in the past week, 24 hours, the past 15 minutes, because we saw you on your HT a couple of minutes ago. So anything's possible.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I mean, let's see. I took the 710 out of the office up on the second floor because I'm far too cheap to heat that room during the winter, and I brought it downstairs. So the 710 is down in the living room next to the wood stove. I'll probably be hanging out with that for the winter months. But I know for the past week, I've had the little Zygo G90 down here on the dining room table, and I've been doing nothing but 5 watts and having a lot of fun playing QRP. You know, during 10 meters, it's been hot as a pistol. So, you know, even with 5 watts, Europe and the Middle East has been no problemo at all mid-morning every day.
Very cool. Well, that is just testament to, you know, the great solar cycle we're in and all of the cool stuff that you could literally just, you know, set up a full 100-watt wig barefoot or run 5 watts and still make some damn good contact for sure.
I got you. The other thing I did today, the 710, during the summer months, I run that on an N-fed half wave. And what I did today is I hooked it to the 10-meter double bazooka, which of course works very well on 10 meters. But I get an old MFJ, you know, manual tuner with the knobs in the front. And, that'll tune up the 10-meter double bazooka all the way down to 40 meters. So I think I'll just stick with that for the winter.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Cool. All right. Well, good on that. And so, that sounds awesome. Ham Radio Week for sure. I wish I played a little bit more HF, but none of my hosts. What?
What?
Oh, how was your day, Eric, or your Ham Radio Week?
Well, guys, thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
I was waiting for Todd to do it. Week.
I know, right? Well, it's his job. His only job. Anyway, no, just kidding. I think Ham Radio Week, I have to say, like, just today, the net, most of the repeaters were quite active today. Like, I was very surprised. A few of them, you know, obviously being the Ford repeater and whatnot, there was a lot of conversation going on. I know a few guys like John KB1 ICL was trying to do a couple of 10-meter activations up in the, you know, Seacoast area, and he was pretty successful on 10 meters from what I can gather. But I couldn't reach him from the parking lot, being mobile, so I was kind of bummed by that. But, you know, not a bad day otherwise. And so didn't play a whole lot of radio, but just mostly, like Todd said in the past, you know, I got my VHF, UHF fix. And, you know, with that, you know, everything's all still good. So, you know, outside of that, I think, you know, it sounds like we all did something worthwhile for, say, that checks the ham radio category column there. So that'll be a couple of firsts for our show for a while. I mean, a lot of times Todd was like, I, what's ham radio?
I almost got kicked off the podcast because I wasn't doing enough ham radio.
you were really stressing the adjacent part of the podcast. All right. Well, so we've got a good treat here. This is something we've tried to organize for a little while, and we've been working to kind of get the coordination together. And I'm super glad to have, Tim here and Ralph and Mike, all representative of our podcast that is a, you know, we're going to be talking about net control and nets tonight. We've got some really good guys here who, run our club net for quite a while, I'd say. Well, probably a lot longer than I think most other nets kind of run in general for what the intended purpose was. But we really kind of wanted to just talk more about the NCO experience. So maybe if you're a new technician and you kind of been like, I don't know where to plug in. I don't know what to join. I can't become net control because I've got mic fright or whatever. You know, we're hoping that, you know, when these guys come on, they can share some of their stories and their experiences and hopefully maybe encourage you to, you know, maybe start a net in your local area on a repeater or, you know, if there's one there, you know, kind of join in and be part of that process. So let's kind of start somewhere. So Todd, you know, maybe you can kind of give a little bit of a level set. You know, what was this whole process, this net, and where to kind of all start with us? And then we can kind of go from there.
And if Todd can do it, anybody can do it.
Anyone can do it.
All right. Well, so our, exactly. Our net, the Granite State Amateur Radio Association nightly net, was started by AC1J and K1XF. There are two members of our club, John and Tom. And basically it was started right after COVID started in March of 2020. And they figured it was a good way to keep people connected. If anyone needed help, they do a nightly net check-in and just see how things were going. So it started and it was going every night, 7 days a week. And John, K1XF, was net control. And he did it probably for what? 4 years, 3.5 years straight every day, one net control. And then I think it was me who asked him if he would let me do one. and I picked up one net control, and then he wanted to give me more and more, and then people started joining in, and then now we've got like Ralph has done it, Tim does it regularly, Mike does it regularly, and we it's just been going on. It's been going on since March of 2020. So as of March, it'll be 5 years. And this net runs every evening except the first Monday of the month, where we do the repeater is used for an Aries net. And we have our club meetings. And that's the second Friday of every month that we don't do the net. But every other day, including holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, New Year's Eve, the net's going. We've had a lot of people check in, and I think last night was probably, as far as I can remember, there was only four of us, including myself, as net control, and I think by the end, it was just me and Mike, because everyone was one and done. So it was a pretty short net. We tried to drag it on as long as we could, but it's been going on, and it's pretty amazing that we've had this net, and it's very simple. We just say, how was your day, and a conversation will start going, and we typically go two rounds, and it's been good. And I started listening to it before I was even a ham, even before I was licensed. I had a scanner, and that's how I found this club. And I met all these guys, was listening to the net. And then when I got my technician, I tried to get on the net, and it wasn't too successful, but I finally figured it out after John yelled at me. You guys probably heard that story in an earlier net or earlier podcast, but it was all good. And it's been going strong ever since. And today we've invited some of the net control operators on to kind of talk about our experiences and how we run the net and what it's like.
So just out of curiosity, Todd, right now that, COVID is kind of wound down and there's not so much of a need for, kind of checking in on people, How has that evolved the net at all, or has it?
Well, I think the net kind of took off at life of its own. It's more of like people just checking in to say hi and seeing what you're doing. Sometimes we get questions asked like, hey, is it the 10 meter net tonight, or is the meeting this Friday or next Friday? Sometimes Bill, our past president, W1WRA, would give announcements of what was going on. And now we've got Ralph, who's our new president, KC1TLY, who's here. It's just a way to communicate. And then a lot of times after the net, if people want to have a conversation or chat, they'll just say, hey, if you're going to be around, wait until the net ends and we can catch up then. And then, like, for an example, I'll close the net and then someone will just say, hey, KC1TOI, N1JUR, are you there? And then him and Eric would then start a conversation. So it's just a way to stay connected, and it's just been kind of good for our net. And I think we've gotten we think there's more people listening than actually signing into it. Right. Because we've heard some stories. But so I always say, hey, if you're listening, come on, check in. It's fun. More the merrier. But we all do it different. It's pretty informal. I mean, everyone does it a little differently, and it just works. And, like I do Sundays, and I always do it backwards. So I always start from the bottom of the list. I leave the guys in alphabetical order, and the guys at the bottom never get to go first. So on Sundays, I just reverse it, and just something that's kind of ticked on. Even when Tim covers for me, he does it in reverse. So it's all good.
So cool. So let's kind of bring these other guys in, because they're obviously part of the whole process, and they've been just probably, well, I'd say you're the veterans kind of the net in general. And so Tim, we'll kind of start with you first and the format, like just give us a little brief, like background, a very short story of like your ham radio kind of background there. And then like, how did you get into the net control side of stuff? And like, cause you also have, a lot of other cooler things that you've been tracking in terms of the net numbers and stuff like that. But at the same time, you're also branching out from there. So start with the ham radio stuff, and then we'll kind of go from there a little bit.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right.
You're on a timer.
A loaded question there, Tim.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you guys about the net and how that started with me. I studied on and off for my license very loosely, and I finally did get my license in 2021, and I found the Granite State Amateur Radio Association, and I started listening to the net on Echolink, And I was very happy that there was actually people out there on the ham radio, and they lived close by. So, and the first time I joined the net, I joined through Echolink on my cell phone. Mm-hmm. And that was quite an experience. And then I get a Baofeng and a Magnum out in a pan, and it was really bad. And I got in though.
You yelled at too, or is that just me?
No, just but you. I felt the angst, you know, about my signal and all that, and I felt the need to upgrade, and I met Casey, and Casey gave me a little French radio, and the thing worked pretty good, and then it died on me, and I upgraded, and I started keeping track of the net, and I wrote down who checked in and what John was doing, and I got to started meeting people in the club, and then I asked I met Todd, and Todd had just volunteered for Sunday, and John just seemed to hand it over.
Yeah,
to
he
him.
Didn't. He didn't want it. He was and, like, "Take it. You want more days?" Like, I think he was ready to give me the whole week if I asked for it.
And I, you know, I thought, wow, you know, this is a really nice thing, you know. And I thought, you know, nobody really wants to hear what you did today, really. You know, no one cares. But these guys, we all get together and talk about what we did for the day, you know, and that's really nice. And, you know, it's like we're a family, and it's a little time during the day when we can all, you know, share something that happened to us together. And I really liked that. And I felt like, you know, it was kind of a privilege to get to do the net. And I asked John, I said, well, you know, if you want, I'll do one night, maybe Friday night. And he said, sure, you can do it. And I was a technician, and I never did a net, and I didn't have any training or anything. So, but I had a list that I made of everybody who checked in, and it wasn't alphabetical or anything. And I just, it came to be my turn, you know, to do it, and I did it, and it seemed to go okay, and nobody said anything, so I thought I
off.
Yeah, I read off the list, and then the next time I saw John said, hey Tim, you know, he said, you know, I have a list of who checks in. I said, well, you could probably share that with me, buddy, you know. And he printed it out for me. And then I was like a little more prepared for the next one. And, I, you know, so it started from there. And then every Friday, except the night we had the meeting, I was doing the net, and, I really enjoyed that time. And, I enjoyed joining the net, and I continued to keep track of how many people checked in, and then 10 meter net.
Let's talk that one. Let's put a pin in that one for a second.
All right. I'll put a pin in that, we'll come back around to that. But technician 2 meter net. If you get a chance, and you're a technician, and you get a chance to do a net, especially if you're in the Granite State Club, you know, come and see me, because I have a night when you can do a net. And you know, come see me. There's a slot there when you can just come and try it. And it's a lot of fun and a good experience. So I'll give it over the microphone. So
which I could sort talk of kind about of segues, it, you know? And feel free to jump in. It sort of kind of segues, because in essence, Mike, you're relatively, you know, in terms of your background in ham radio and whatnot, relatively new, we'll say. And but, you know, how did you get into or What person encouraged you, we'll say, to wanting to get involved in the net? And, you know, did you know what was your kind of like first experiences with it, and share a little bit of that?
Well, quick backstory. The whole ham radio thing, I believe it was February. and of last year, going through Facebook, I saw that ham radio prep online thing come up. So I said, the heck with it. I'll try it. Why not? It's winter time. I don't do anything. I don't go outside. I don't even get the mail sometimes if it's too cold outside. I hate the cold. So I got that. And so that's pretty cool. So I went through all that. And before I even took my test, I went on Amazon. I bought the Baofeng, you know. And I would just start with that. It's kind of funny. Everybody except for Ralph, but.
Get a Quanjang story.
But I used to listen to you guys talk, and once I got my license in April, I thought I had the radio dialed in. Then when they called, who wants to check in? I'm keying the mic. And I can't hear the repeater tripping, and I was devastated because the net closed, and I it's like what the hell, man? I've been waiting for months for this.
Finally get my shot. So
I messed around with some buttons and the tone wasn't input correctly. So AC1J actually picked up the radio probably about 20 minutes after the net closed, and we were chit-chatting for a bit, and so that my first contact was Tom. So that was cool. And so as it progressed, I would have to stand a certain way, facing the window a certain way with my handheld to hit the repeater. And as the foliage came in and the everything changed, and I had to, where I was standing before, I couldn't make it anymore. So I had to move actually into the front door, and for whatever reason, I couldn't open the door. If I stood between the door to paint a glass, it would work, but I couldn't move. And my wife would get pissed for me. She goes, "I can't believe they can't hear you." And I'm like, "Well, there's other radios out there that are going to help me out a lot." So, but anyway, I told her, I said, "One of these days, I'm going to do that. I want to try to do net control. It sounds like fun. Great bunch of guys, very laid back. Everybody's always looking to help everybody, which I've got a lot of help mentoring and with actual items from masts.
We just helped you further your money along out of your wallet into HR.
Exactly.
And online,
yeah. So. Yeah. And
glad we could help.
So so that's it.
I remember. The first time I did the net, I was so nervous. Like, I literally got like an hour before. I don't know if you guys did the same thing. I was all prepared. I had my script out. I had the list. I was like, all right. And I was so nervous. And I like, all of a sudden, like 7 o'clock came and I was like, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to suck. And then I did it. I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And now it's like, I got my kid telling me, hey, dad, aren't you doing the net tonight? I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. I run down to it, turn on the radio and whip it out. But
so that's actually probably a good segue to our fearless leader, Ralph. He's pretty much been in this place where, you know, we'll let him tell a story. I would do no justice. So, Ralph, you know, go ahead. The shore's yours. So basically, tell us a little bit about kind of your, you know, short foray into ham radio, and then, you know, some of your net experience, because you kind of took the ball and ran with it, just like Tim and a few others have as well. So.
Yeah, well, Tim actually is the guy that set me up. He called me one day or sent me an email and said, "Hey, Ralph, I can't do the net tonight." And I said, yeah, I'll get in there and give it a shot. So I blame Tim. But it's been fun. I've only been licensed about a year. September of 2023. But I've been dabbling in radio my whole life. You know, I don't have a real good explanation as to why I never got into the transmitting side of things, but I've been DXing medium wave and short wave since I was a kid. And that goes back about 60 years. But no, I've had a ball. Enjoy running the net or being net control whenever I'm called upon. I'm basically a pinch hitter. I'm not on there on a weekly basis like Mike or Tim. But, if somebody needs a break or has a commitment, I'm always happy to pitch in.
Now, you've got a little backstory there, because I know between Tim and Mike, they both mentioned their Baofeng kind of users, but you kind of went a different road, my friend. So elaborate a little bit in terms of your expertise in a certain Chinese radio, because I think that would benefit and hopefully keep more people excited to know that there are others like yourself.
You mean cheap? Is that what you mean there, Eric?
No, cheap. No, that's frugal. I look at it as frugal.
Just for those of you that haven't been to New Hampshire on any nets, Ralph is quite famous on the repeaters and for his quote. Everyone knows Ralph. They talk about him all the time, even if he's not on. And if you haven't, like when you started doing POTA, Ralph, like you were like, everyone was trying to worry. Oh, Ralph's on doing POTA. Ralph's doing POTA. You got to get on POTA. I was like, wow, Ralph's a superstar out here on the repeaters.
But he also has a very large.
I've been fortunate. I should have got into this. My only regret is I didn't do this about 50 years ago. My spot in Francistown has got a little bit of elevation. So I have to show it, of course. With the Quan Chang HT, I can get about 100 miles out on 5 watts with the rubber duck. So that exposes me to a couple of repeaters and I just like bopping around from repeat. I mean, I like HF now, but when I first got started out, I was having an absolute ball, doing simplex and hitting repeaters down on Cape Cod and stuff. And it's like, if I really enjoy, talking to the Cape on 5 watts, I got to get into HF because I'm really going to have a ball talking to Europe and the Middle East. And that's what I've done, of course. But I love my Quan Chang. I get a couple of them. And I still use them every day. So,
Ralph, do you have like a 2 meter, like a dual band antenna, or are you just doing all your 2 meter stuff through your HTs?
What I have up in the cupola, which I don't use during the winter months for obvious reasons, although I get electric heat up there, I suppose I could. But up in the cupola, I have an N9 TAX. Ladder line J pole, that I just string from the ceiling is like the Ed Flong thing. And, that gives me a little extra punch. But, 9 times out of 10, I just use the rubber duck.
It's pretty up.
Yeah. So, what is your above sea level elevation from your home, just so our listeners know?
it's 1,300 feet, actually 1,292 to be precise. Which by New Hampshire standards is really not that high.
No.
But I think the trick here is, what do they call it? Height above average height above terrain, or height above average terrain, HAAT. Mm-hmm. 1,300 feet is not that high by New Hampshire standards, but to the north and east and south, I get about a 50-mile unobstructed view. So, that gives me a little bit of punch when I want to play around with the
HD. I'm sitting here at 277 feet above sea level. So you've got me, you're pretty far up there. Yeah.
Blistery.
But the downside of that, Todd, is I joined this thing tonight about 45 minutes late because my DSL is 15 megabits per second. Doesn't do anything. I can't get broadband up here, Todd.
Starlink.
But so, if those that are a part of our Patreon would realize that if they're listening to the backstory, we were almost at the verge of having Ralph use the repeater, our local repeater, and then we were going to pipe it into this podcast. But we were like, there's got to be some FCC rules against this in some form or fashion. So we were his. That just proves once again, ham radio comes to the rescue because all else fails.
So Ralph.
I got you guys going on the cell phone right now. I'm probably driving everybody crazy because I got tired of holding the phone up in the air so that you could see me. So I just kind of parked it here on the table. So I have no idea how the video is going, but I'd probably break the camera anyway. There, so Ralph. No sweat.
So Ralph, how many Quan Chang / Baofeng Chinese HDs do you currently own?
I got to think. The Quan Changs, I know for a fact, the Quan Changs are 16. 16. The Baofengs, I don't know, maybe 10. I got to be up around 30, 35. I haven't counted. I got a couple of old Olinkos thrown in there for good measure, too. And a couple of TID radios.
The real question is, has Quan Chang reached out to you to become a distributor yet?
I know.
Right?
You know that's pretty funny because I don't know who it is, but somebody at Quan Chang by the name of Lily, L-I-L-Y, Lily, sends me emails on a fairly regular basis. And
asking for reviews.
They don't want to listen to me because I said, forget the radios, guys. We need a Quan Chang hat, but they just don't want to do a hat for me.
You're probably keeping the company alive. I mean, if there's anyone out there that has more Quan Chang, Baofeng HTs than Ralph, please let us know, because right now I think he's the king.
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd. I mean, I don't know if you're going to the Christmas party there in a couple of weeks, but in the past week, I've had 9 Quan Changs, not for me, but 9 Quan Changs delivered here for guys in the club, and I suspect those are probably going to be in the Yankee
swap.
So
what you want one or not, someone, you're probably getting one.
Because I currently don't have a Baofeng or a Quan Chang radio. I do have, Eric did give my son, FRS radio Baofengs, but yeah, I don't have one. I have a feeling I might be coming home with one next Friday. There's that many out there. I might just get stuck with it.
I mean,
Todd, I'll give you a small hint. When you walk up to the Yankee swap table, you want to listen closely because they'll be talking to you from inside the box.
that's awesome.
I know we usually give a lot of crap to the Baofeng and Quan Chang folks, but I have to say Ralph has done an amazing job with just like not pushing it upon people, but showing them a different option. And the price point for a lot of folks has always been like a struggle, at least in our club. And now there's such an insurgence of Quan Chang's, like Mike was just saying in the private chat in the background, he's been absorbed into the Quan Chang world too, as well. He's got 2 of them. So, it's a good thing because in essence it gets radios in people's hands and it's great. And they've cleaned up their act a little bit. You know, there are still a few out there that fall in the spurious emissions kind of category, but it's a good thing. That's the way I kind of look at it.
Well, you know, Eric, I mean, this started out, this really started out as a big joke more than anything else. I wanted to build a Go Box, and I quickly learned that on AliExpress, I bought a couple of Quan Changs, and it's like, I'm going to get a couple of spare batteries. And it's like, wait a second, the radios are cheaper than the batteries. Why don't I just buy the radios?
The battery.
So, I kept buying the radios instead of the spare batteries. But, this started out as a big joke. And there's probably a lot of guys in the club that still think it's a big joke, but I've had some fun with it.
Okay, you could with that many Quan Changs, you could just like leave one in every room. Like you could just, one in the bathroom, the kitchen, the bedroom.
There's an emergency. There's a Quan Chang.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be answering Ralph when he's in the bathroom with his Quan Chang. Sorry, that's just not happening.
You hear the toilet flush in the background?
That's my only fear. All right, well, so let's steer the ship back here because I don't think this is the Quan Chang show, but we could definitely do an episode solely on it. But so, it's kind of funny. It's like, obviously, when everybody does the net, they have different feelings, and we sort of touched upon it a little bit. And maybe we'll start with Ralph first. When you started to kind of dive in the net, were they like, did you feel like you had to do any preparation when they said, hey, Ralph, would you do it? Or were you just kind of like, we'll wing it? Kind of what's your feeling on, to communicate to somebody new on, in a club or, wanting to join a net? What was your experience, first time experience with, doing nets?
Well, I mean, the first couple of times I did it, I did a script. I wrote it out. I don't use it any longer. But probably the most important thing, and I still think this is important. I recorded, hold on, I may have it here. No, I don't. I've got these little cards, they're business cards that, for every repeater that I get on, I record the call sign and the first name of the people that are on that repeater. I just think it's important that when somebody, calls out their call sign, that you can greet them by their first name. I know it always makes me feel good. So, what I did when I first started the net is aside from the written script, I made sure that I had a list of all of the frequent check-ins and their first name so that, when they checked in, I could say, hey, how you doing, Eric? Or, how you doing, Tim? And, I still think that's important. I actually have like a dozen cards, one card for each repeater that I'm on. And whenever I get on that repeater, I put the little card in front of me so that when somebody calls out their call sign, I can greet them with their first name.
I've been, since I started running, or since I started doing that, I've kept a log. So I made a spreadsheet, and I've been doing it since 2020. So 4 years now, and I'm up to 1,383 nets that I've either run or been on. And I put down the name of the net, the frequency, and who was net control. And then if there's any other kind of crazy thing that happened, I'd put a little note into it. But like you said, I do, I have a net control sheet that I keep track of. Has everyone's names on it, and I adjust it as like if people don't come on, I'll delete them, but it has like their call sign and their name, and then I just check the boxes, and then I have a little note section that if they say in and out, and that's how I stay organized. But I agree with you, normally I call out the call sign, and then I say, hey, you know, like, hey, if I say, yeah, KC1URG, and Mike comes and goes, KC1URG, I'm like, hey, Mike, thanks for checking in. I'll get to you in a minute or something like that. It just kind of makes it a little bit more personal. And I think with our net, it's so laid back, and there's not, like, you could do it any way you want. Some nets are very structured, where ours is, we all kind of do it the same way, but you can do it any way you want. And we normally just go through our list and then ask if there's anyone else that wants to check in. So it's been kind of good. But I agree with you. I think getting, especially if you're a regular and getting the names and, you know, I end up knowing people's names and call signs before the faces, and then I meet them in like a club meeting or at the barn or at press. I'm like, oh, you're so and so,
right? Yeah,
right. Like, you don't know, like, you know, but you've been talking to them for like probably weeks or months, so yeah. It's all good.
So Mike, was this your kind of first foray into doing nets, at least with the GSARA crew, or were you doing other nets before this, or you know, or just only participant in it?
No, this is first everything for me. So yeah.
Okay. How what's your kind of feeling on it? You know, were you able to just kind of just jump in with both feet, or would you just kind of like, well, oh, what do I need to do?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because I believe it was Tim. We were chatting because was it John wanted nothing to do with it anymore. He wanted to hang it up because he was just tired of it, and so that was my end. I'm like, oh, so I told my wife, like, I think I'm gonna do it, you know, and got the radio now, so can actually get out there and not have to worry about standing in one spot. I was supposed to do it on Mondays, and then so I had. Paced myself. I had all weekend to get ready. You know, Tim sent me over some the general script and the typical call-ins, which I already had my own because when I was listening before, I could even talk on the radio. I was writing down everybody's name, everybody's call sign, and said I was keeping my own my own sheet together. It's kind of funny, and I wasn't even able to transmit yet. So,
who's got a fire going on?
that's the alarm for my house. They're letting Tim's letting the dog in and out.
I was getting ready for Monday, and then something happened. I think it was Saturday or Sunday night. Somebody, either Tom or Utah, I couldn't do it, so I filled in, and that was my first rodeo. So, I was nervous, you know, but I kept thinking it's not a big deal, you know. My biggest problem is when I'm doing it, I try to write legibly the call signs, that, especially, you know, the new ones that come in after. Mm-hmm. And I find myself spending too much time making a number one look like a number one as opposed to an I. And by the time I'm done doing that, I've already forgot the last part of their, I didn't get that. You have to, can you retransmit that? But.
Cool. Okay. So it sounds like you had, a welcoming experience, but enough that, you know, that you knew that it was, we'll say, grace to, you know, fumble along and kind of get your feet under you and then figure out, you know, what, how to do your style of a net control.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't, it wasn't as big of a deal as I made it out to be. And it ends up being fun. I still stumble over my words sometimes when I'm talking. But I don't need the net to do that. I do that on a regular basis anyway. So,
Well, Mike, you know, I hear you when you run the net. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it sounds like you've been doing it for 20 years. Very professional, very clear, very well run. Like, honestly, like when I first heard you do it, I'm like, who's this guy doing the net? Like, he seems like he came from another club and did nets for 20 years. So good for you. You sound good on it and you run a good net.
Thanks, Todd. So is that 40 bucks I owe you now? Or?
Yeah. I'll
send you a quan check.
Probably be cheaper.
I know, right? Exactly. Couple of actually at $15 a pop, it's like maybe two or three, but yeah. So yeah, we're gonna continue to measure everything here in quan checks or mail thing. So Tim, obviously you've been, you know, we've had you on before, and so as we all can contest, we've always treated you as like the superstar rock star of technician world, doing everything and anything under the sun, and the net's not any exception to that. You kind of just jumped in and took the bull by the horns and was just doing some really cool stuff. But like, what was your like first experience? I mean, it's been a while, I'm sure, but you know, if you can dig back a little bit and, you know, remember what that was, you know, how did you feel? Like, what was it, you know, in general, and you know, anything that you wish you could kind of, you know, or you did adjust to going forward?
Oh, with the 2 meter net.
Yep.
Oh, I was terrified the first time I did the 2 meter net. But you know, I kept telling myself before I did it, you know, I said, I kept saying to myself, you know, these guys are my friends, you know, and we're all ham radio operators, and they've all been new before. And we've all been new, and we've all been the new guy, and you know, we're all friends. And I say this with almost everything I do, you know, I say this to anybody who's new doing the net. I'll say, listen, if you make a mistake, it doesn't matter, because you know, the people that you're around are your friends. And if you make a mistake around your friends, they might tease you a little bit or whatever, but we're just going to laugh it off and keep going. And I said, don't be too nervous, I said to myself, but I still sat there, you know, 10 minutes before the net, and I was looking at my, my unalphabetized list, and I didn't really have anything prepared, you know, in writing. And I was just, you know, doing some deep breathing and,
you know, and yoga.
I was just like, and then I, you know, I did the old, you know, me, you know, la, 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 la,
before I got on there. Chords.
I'm like, okay, well, you know, John does this every night. So, and, you know, he set a really good example, you know, for me, as a technician, because, you know, he always came in and was just straightforward, did it and said his call sign when he was supposed to, and read everybody's name and brought us through it. And, you know, I figured, you know, I would talk a little bit about, you know, what it was a little more, maybe like do an introduction and, then just call everybody off. And that's the only thing I really changed. I just said, you know, this is the Granite State Amateur Radio Association Nightly Net. And I introduced myself and I said, I'm the host, tonight. And, your net control. I didn't want to sound like I was the bossy pants of the net or whatever. I was just, I'm your friend and I'm your host, and I'm just here to help you, join in and share what you did today. And I just wanted it to be like that. I just wanted it to be like all of us friends getting together at the end of the day and talking about what we did, and maybe sharing some ham radio business, or maybe something exciting that's going to happen, you know, in down the road, or something that happened. Like, I've learned a lot of stuff on the net, and You know, I come from a big family. You know, I have six sisters and three brothers, and, you know, we used to have dinner together when we were growing up and this and that. And, you know, it's nice to hear what everybody did all day. And I feel like, you know, and that's kind of like that, because I get to hear what everybody did. And like, you know, otherwise we wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what, you know, Mike did all day, you know. And I don't know. It's kind of interesting because it's not what I did. I know what I did all day, but I don't know what Ralph did. Well, I kind of have an idea what Ralph did, you know, with his Quan Chi.
I
hear about it, you know. Like, I like that, and it's a privilege to be on the net and to have a net and be a net controller. And it's nice to have friends to share all this stuff with. And I consider us just very lucky to have that time together. And I think it makes it us all closer.
So I got a question for the four of you. Now that you're past your new, you know, nervousness, right? Have you expanded at all and like kind of experimented with, you know, like just making it a little bit more fun, you know, like, good evening. This is the Nightly Net.
Oh my God.
What's wrong with you?
That's a good idea. Oh. We should probably mix it up a little bit.
Great. Now you got to
Sunday off our actually, card, Todd, Friday, I'm going to be covering for Tim on Friday. So we could have a little fun with that. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the GSARA. Nat Lynette here with W1STJ.
What's Les Nessman in WKRP? What's his name, the DJ?
Well, you saw the 6-meter nets that we did, and those were different. And then Tom and Bill on Saturday night, they'll do a question or they'll talk about, you know, tales from the dump, which is really fun.
Well, I will say, well, the ones from dump are pretty good.
Tom will say, he'll be like the, you know, what was that 80s?
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. And then he'll get up there and he'll say, and tonight is Tales from the Dump.
And then
everybody will talk about something that happened at the dump. And those of us who are who live in the city like I do, we don't go to the dump. So you get to
experience it through them.
We'll talk about something that happened on the garbage removal day. You know, like, there's the Chinese guy who drives around the block and he collects cans, and he has like, he carries more cans on his bicycle. Like, he must be building a house of cans because he has like so many cans on his bicycle. I don't think I could ride my bike if there were that many cans, you know, or whatever it is, you know, or during political season, they're at the dump and they're campaigning at the dump, and Tom's trying to get to the dump to get rid of the whatever it is. Yeah. And he's driving around all the people with the, you know, they're picketing at the dump, or, you know, just things happen at the dump and they find things, and there's a lot of exciting stuff going on at the dump. So you'd be surprised what we've learned about the dump from
Well, when the ARL approaches you, Tim, to do a book, the ARL contracts you out to do a book on Tales of the Dump, you know, you'll have all your stories lined up. You'll be good.
Or the Manchester dump truck with the old stuffed animal that someone threw away.
Oh, stuck on the front.
It's strapped to the front, and they got the 80s boom box there, and they're blaring whatever, Def Leppard, and waking everybody up, you know, and like, slamming stuff around, yelling at each other, you know. If you leave anything big out there, you just leave a little money or some beer and they take it, you know. Manchester Recycle Program, you know.
couple of questions here. So I'm just always curious because I've done some net controls in the past that are a little bit more structured and whatnot. So I've got my own little experience there, but what would you guys offer for advice? So say like we got a new technician and who's kind of listening to the show now, you know, what would you give him or her an advice, you know, to say in terms of like they're sitting on the edge of the fence there and then maybe they, you know, struggle with mic shyness and whatnot. What would you give them as a bit of advice to kind of get over, you know, that to be able to participate maybe in running a net or even participate in a net?
That was to me.
Anyone.
Anyway,
go ahead, Mike.
So floor's open. No, you're all you, man.
I don't want to speak out of turn. I would
no turns.
Probably just reiterate that what Tim had said. It's nerve wracking, especially the first couple times a little bit. But that being said, you know, we are kind of our own family, and if anything, everybody out there is looking to help, not poke fun, or you know, and it's that's pretty much what it is. It's you don't have to be nervous about anything, and just do it. It'll flow, and especially it flows better if you start writing everybody's names down in call signs before you even have your license. Yeah. I had a whole sheet going. And you couldn't see the lines on the paper anymore, and I would highlight and I say, okay, so Tim, that's Tim, Casey McQDK, and then somebody else with W1XC Frank. I think I got him down. He says, I remember writing something down like does something with a spaceship.
The satellite. Yeah.
I try to put all these little,
so you do
yeah, it on everybody, you know. So it was just, but it was fun.
You know, when I do the net, I always leave my phone. I leave QRZ open. That way, if someone new comes in and I don't know who they are, they're brand new to the net, I can quickly look them up and get them on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of those are good tips. Like, I didn't even think about doing that, Mike. Like, I'm so enthralled in getting, like, when I was doing them, I got to get A, B, and C done and get them all done. And, like, I'm not even thinking about the personalization, which is, I think, a key to our net that's done really good and it's kept longevity around because you guys take the time to, like, learn something about somebody and then use it as a way to be able to get them out of their shell to talk a little bit. And I think that's pretty critical. I mean, all you guys are a testament to that. And, you know, I'm happy to see that, you know, you guys take that time and invest back in others because that just makes the net that much better.
It also really helps you remember people's call signs. I was always terrible with that, right? You do the net enough, you'd be like, you'll know everyone's call sign just by
What's funny, I'm sorry, Ty, yeah, what's funny is she'll hear, my wife will hear the net going in the background she'll be like, is that Tim? Or he hasn't been on a couple of days, or is that so-and-so? Like, you know, everybody's voices now and their call signs. It's pretty funny. Right.
Yeah, it's good. You know, we were talking earlier about, like, you know, helping each other out. I remember, and Tim, maybe you can remember who it was, but remember there was a net and I wasn't running it and then something happened. They lost signal, ran out of battery or something. And remember I picked it up and I'm like, oh, I'll finish it. I'll get it going. I just grabbed my, give me a second. Let me pull up my list. And then
you were ready to go.
You got it going. So there's always someone that helping. And when someone does it for the first time, you know, who wants to try it, I always tell them, I say, listen, I'll be there and I'll text you, or if you're starting to mess up or whatever, and I'll get you in there and help you out and get you through it. But they don't ever need any help. I mean, it's once you get doing it, it just becomes fun. And it's a good way to participate in a club. You know,
I remember when we first installed the Ham Shack hotline, and and there was one time the net didn't start right at 7 o'clock, and I forgot who it was, but
I think it was you, because everybody was calling you on Ham Shack hotline on your cell phone everywhere, and we're like, "Where's Tim? The net's supposed to start. He's always on time."
Yeah, the Ham Shack hotline rang, you know. And I'm like, "Wow, this is why we got this thing," you know. And oh,
Rick line.
Oh yeah, the net. I guess we're gonna do the net. No, I remember there was one time John came a little late, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was late. I was in the backyard. There was rabbits back there. I was watching the bunnies."
No, John. Well, John used to be funny, like, you'd sit there and you'd watch your phone, and it would turn like 6:59, 7. And as soon as it hit 7, he'd be boom. Like, I was like, yeah, that's not me. I'm like, oh, okay. It's, oh, shit, 7:01. I better get on here. But John was like, he was always like, the minute it would click, boom.
Yeah, that's the way I do it too, because John got me doing it like that. I watched the clock go to 7, and then right at 7, I just start it right there at 7. And, you know, if it doesn't start at 7, I start to think, oh, maybe it's not going to happen. Or, you know, well, it's that, just, I saw that and when John was always doing
on.
The net.
And I started using the clock on my radio, and that's not, that's just what I put the time in. It's not accurate to like the real watch time. So I'm waiting and waiting. I'm looking, I'm like, oh, it's a minute off. Like, oops.
Well, yeah. Did Todd forget the net?
Hey, doing the net today, Todd? No, yeah,
he gets a text like, "Tom, are you okay?" But
it's, you know, like I said, if you're new to ham radio and you want to try to do a net, you know, definitely get into it. I mean, get on the net, join it, and then ask if there's someone to cover. You know, if I didn't have Tim, we would have missed some nets because Tim has covered for me, I don't know, 20 times probably.
A lot.
Like, Sundays I'm off doing like a tournament or I'm not around, and Tim's my go-to. But I get to pay him back on Friday. I get to cover for him, so
yeah,
I'm pretty psyched about that. I was going to do it Wednesday, but I have a homeowners association meeting, our yearly meeting, so I'm not unable to do it.
Yeah, I'll find someone for Wednesday. I asked Bill. Bill hasn't got back. I was going to ask Ralph, but I'm trying to drag Ralph to Aerie.
Hey, you already got a thumbs up for Ralph. No problem there. So, Ralph, you have anything you want to kind of throw in the mix there? Because obviously you've stepped in for net control from time to time, and you know, you're not one of, per se, the regulars, but the, as you said, the pinch hitter there. You know, anything you would want to give some advice to for folks that are looking to get into it?
I mean, I think everybody pretty much covered it. I mean, I know the first couple of times I did it, I had a sheet of paper in front of me, you know, with call signs and names. And interestingly, you know, I did the same thing when I first joined the club. Next to everybody's call sign and next to everybody's name, I put a little description that would help me remember things like Frank works for NASA. Tim was a former chef. Mike commutes down to Massachusetts every day. I mean, just something that would help me break the ice with everybody and help me remember them. But I put everything down on paper the first couple times I did it. And as everybody checks in with a pencil, you check them off. It's not rocket science. And
we're gonna ask that question, Todd. Okay, so we now have the question thrown out there on the table. What did you put for Todd and Paul and myself? I'm curious. Like, what description?
You're on the spot now, Mr. President.
Yeah, Paul, I had you down as a big POTA guy. I remember that. And I went to your QRZ page. And, and saw pictures of your shack. I had that down next to your name. Todd, I knew who you worked for. I know you, I'm not sure if you coached or not, but I knew you like to go fishing with your son, followed his sports a lot. Tim, I knew was a former chef. Eric.
Nothing.
Yeah, Eric, I basically had you down as the membership guy. You
mystery
know?
So, guy.
I had notes to everybody, next to everybody.
I'm the guy that's a jerk 3 months out of the year.
Eric was the bossy pants.
I'm the bossy pants for 3 months out of the year when it comes to membership. That's a good deal.
Hey, he was so bossy. I just paid as many years as I could up front so he'd leave me alone.
And it happened. All right, well, so I just want to touch on the underbelly of nets and stuff like that, because we never ever talk about it, especially if you've been in the nets for a while. How do you guys deal with burnout? Because you're doing it night in, night out, how do you guys, what's your secret that we could pass on to somebody else that say is maybe struggling to do their own nets on their repeaters and they've got a bunch of people, but it's a small, like, it's starting to dwindle. How do you guys deal with that burnout? Like,
you guys have anything?
Oh, like, yeah, when you say burnout, Eric, I mean, like doing it too often. I mean, obviously, I'm not the guy to ask for that. What do you mean by burnout?
Just exactly that. So, like, you've been doing it night in, night out. Like, John was a perfect example of it. He was doing it for so long that, you know, obviously a few others obviously recognized it and stepped in. But so how are you personally dealing with it? And are you passing kind of like, are you supporting each other as kind of the net control group?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't really feel like I get burned out because it's not every night. And, you know, like I said, you know, I feel like it's a privilege to do the net, you know,
right.
And it's something I really enjoy. And even if there's only one other person who wants to do the net, I'll still do it. And I'll feel happy that, you know, hey, there was one other guy there to tell me what he did. And, you know, maybe we got to share that one thing together and that was it. And that was all good. And, you know, I was there for them and they were there for me and we did our net and that was it for the night, but it was still there. And even if I just got on there and said, this is the Granite State Amateur Radio Association nightly net, anybody here to check in? And it was quiet. And like, I've thought about that before.
Would you still tell everybody who's not there about your day?
I'd be like, well, I got on the net and nobody was there. And there was I'll now return the repeater back to regular amateur use. And, I'll just be a sad ham for the rest of the night.
But a real sad ham, not like the sad hams that complain.
and I'll just think, you know, well, you know, I tried, and at least there was an opportunity there that if anybody wanted to get on and share, you know, nobody got on the share or whatever, but at least there was an opportunity there. And if it wasn't that night, there will be people down the line, and there are people who are studying for their test and becoming hams who are looking forward to joining the net, I'm sure, who listen and don't join in. And there's people like who were listening before they got their license, like Mike and Todd and Ralph, you know, and Paul, you know, everybody, you know, who was listening before. I was listening, you know, I went to the meetings before I got my license and they want to join in. So once they get their license, if we give up, then the net won't be there for them to join in when they get their license. You know, and
I think it's good for ham radio. I think it's also good for clubs. I think if you're a club and you don't have a net, but you have a repeater or you have access to a repeater and you talk to the repeater owner and you say, hey, we'd like to do a net. I think it's good for everyone. It's good for getting on the air. But I also think if you're going to do it, it can take a lot of time. And if you want to do it like us, that we do it every day, or if you're going to do it every week, once a week, you might want to get a bunch of guys that you can rely on that you could switch on and off. You know, one of the longest nets going, I think it's been going since the 50s on HF, is the New England weather net. And it's on like, God, I want to say it starts at like 4 a.m, goes to like 4 to 6, I think. And it's been going on for like, seriously, like since the 1950s. And they've got different net controls that pick, you know, they do one day a month or one day, something like that. And they all do it. And then those guys do is this is the weather net. And then people call in and report the weather and they log it. And sometimes, like, if you're listening to it, like, no one's calling in. And then the guy will just be like, oh, this is New England weather. If we have any check-ins, please call now. And then he'll wait and he may not hear anything. And like 3 minutes later, he'll do it again, or someone might call in. And it's kind of a cool thing. Our net is kind of like everyone just waits to go. It's like just meeting in, checking in, seeing what we're doing. If you don't make it, no big deal. But if you don't hear, I've noticed, like, if we haven't heard someone for a long time, like, hey, you know, like, where'd Paul go? We haven't heard from Paul. Has anyone heard from Paul? Like, Like if you drop dead at your house.
I'm busy playing softball. Yeah,
if you drop dead, you know, there's a good chance that someone in the net might be stopping by if you haven't been on in a week and you're a regular. But you know, yeah, it's, right? I think it's good for all. And like for me, you know, I've been doing it for so long. Like if there was someone that was a new ham and said, hey, I'd like to try the net, they can always come and take my day. I don't mind having given it up or letting people use it or filling in. I mean, it's really more, it's a club net and we should let as many people as we can be net control.
Yeah, and that's the Wednesday net, and we have a program too for guest net controller, you know, for people who want to try it.
Good idea.
So if you go to the website, the club website, gsara.org, and you want to be a net controller, you just sign up there, and you know, even if you don't want to make a commitment to do it all the time. You just fill out the form and you can try it out, you know, and why not just try it, even if, see if you like being a net controller, you know, and if you do, you know, you could pick up a regular day to do it. And, you know, there's that Wednesday slot. And originally when John said, you know, he didn't want to do the net anymore, and Bob and I took those 2 days. The idea behind that Wednesday was to have one day open where people could come and try it if they wanted to.
That's awesome.
And so far, you know, we've had a few people come in and try it, you know, and had a few special guest net controllers. And Ralph was actually the first special guest net controller that came
in. He was.
And look at him now. Now he's the president.
Yeah. 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 See what happens. So he's come and be a guest net controller, you know, and you know, and you never know what could happen. You know, it might. It could be fun. So.
Anybody else want to add anything at all? Okay. No problem there. Somebody pipe in.
Well, I was just gonna say, okay. I don't feel it's as far as being burnt out on it. It's in most cases, it's one night a week, and it's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It shouldn't, you know. I don't look at it as a job. Look at it as a, you know, it's literally a half hour, maybe 45 minutes,
a hobby
to just say hi to everybody and see how everybody was doing, and that's it.
Very cool.
Yeah, Eric, I mean, I don't have any comment because I get on there maybe once or twice a month, so how am I going to burn out?
No, true, right? You're our president now, so we'll do it that other side.
Okay.
Just kidding. Cool. All right, well, so with that, like, you know, I've got a couple other really good questions, but I think just to kind of keep to your guys' time, and I appreciate you guys all coming on and coordinating with us because this is a really fun experience to share with, obviously, our people in the New England area, because we all know that for some areas that you can hit repeaters, that the repeaters are kind of dead. And, you know, we've actually kind of got the benefit as our club to have a very active, you know, repeater with a consistent nightly net. And it's a way that we as club members and people in the area can invite people in to say, hey, come be part of this and just, you know, be part of, you know, sharing what your day was like. And, you know, that, it's as simple as that a lot of times. And we kind of extend that, and Tim alluded to a little bit where we were talking about the 6-meter nets that we kind of expanded that upon. And we've done other things like our 10-meter net, which is a once a month thing. But all of those, you know, are just, again, extensions of all the stuff that you guys do. And I know, Tim, you've got some, we could go on for hours and we're going to have you back.
I could tell you some. I could tell you some stories about 10 meters and 6 meters. Oh yeah,
but we've done a lot of great stuff, and we've got some videos to prove Tim and I doing 6-meter nets and stuff like that. So you can always check out my channel on seeing Tim and I in action. But you know, it's a testament to our club, I think, that says, you know, we've got a great group of guys and girls that all like love the hobby and just love to be, you know, participants in this. And so, you know, from us here at Live Freeham, we thank you guys for doing the job you guys do and having an awesome passion to just do, you know, that stuff week in, week out, but do it in a way that, you know, you love doing it. And so, So we thank you guys for doing that for sure. So, any of you guys got anything you want to add, Todd?
I think. Well,
no, go ahead, Mike.
Well, well,
Tony. There you go. No, you go.
No,
I well, think, I'll just say if you guys ever need somebody to fill in, give me a shout, and I'll bring some character to the net.
He only does field days, really. He's like one of those, you know, guest stars, celebrity net control people. He only does field days.
Yeah, see, Paul, you've got the personality for that. You know, I just go in there and play traffic cop. But yeah, you've got the personality to actually make it entertaining.
So Paul, do it Wednesday, and I'll do it Friday. I'm going to do something fun Friday. I'm going to take you up on it, and they're probably going to ban me and say you're never doing net control again. But it could be fun.
Well, there you go. There's content, Todd. Fire up the webcam just record the damn thing.
yeah, Paul, Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday.
Well,
cool. All right, guys.
Thanks for coming on the podcast tonight. It's been fun. We've been wanting to do this for a while, and it's the net's a big part of our club. And it's, you know, this podcast was really started to kind of promote ham radio. And I think our club does a good job promoting ham radio by doing the net. And, you know, I've talked to all of you guys on the repeater outside the net. And our repeater is pretty active, and it's not the strongest repeater around, but I think it gets a lot of activity. So, and I think it comes to like us doing net control and the club as a whole, keeping the repeater up and just using it and getting the word out there. And we've gotten a lot of members just from, I think, our net alone. I think we've gotten a lot of, I mean, you got me, because I wouldn't have known anything about the club unless the net, I found you on my scanner. So, and if you didn't have me, you probably wouldn't have this podcast now, would you? Just joking.
You know, one thing, Todd, I think I've brought this up before, but, you know, a testament to our club, obviously our club gets a lot of talk on our own repeater, but if you check out some of the area repeaters in Southern New Hampshire and even like north of Boston, it's amazing how much GSARA gets talked about on repeaters outside of our own repeater.
I've heard.
Yeah, someone contacted me today and said that they heard I was doing a 160 CW camp out, and I had never met them before. And so I think they're going to come and meet me at Mount Monadnock.
Well, Ralph, I think that's also a credit to you and you being able to reach so many repeaters and people and talking about the stuff that we're doing. You know, I know that there's a lot of guys from the Epson repeater that when you guys were doing the 6 meter net, I mean, I was listening to that repeater all day and that's all they talked about. And I was like, holy crap, there's going to be a lot of people on this 6 meter net because the whole Epson repeater is talking about it and planning on being there. So it was pretty cool that the word gets around and people have, and you know, that's how we met Keith. You know, you brought Keith in, didn't you? Right, Ralph?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you're talking about AC1RH?
Yeah.
The big Kona guy. I think I first met him on the Epson repeater. But I've even heard our club talked about pretty often down on the Bill Ricker repeater. You know, even the Boston repeater. I mean, a GSARA gets around. It really does.
You're doing some good stuff then.
Testament to you guys. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's kind of wrap this up with a little bow here. Again, we appreciate Mike and Tim and Ralph for all coming on tonight and hanging out with us.
And Todd. We're
bummed that Tom and Todd, but Todd's with us. I mean, he's pretty much, you know, there. But in your comment, Todd, about this podcast never starting.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Exactly. So that's how I feel about that whole ordeal. So with that, you know, as always, thanks again for joining Live Free and Ham. We appreciate everybody who's been part of our community. And again, if you just started to listen to us, thanks again for getting us in your podcast feeds and in your YouTube, you know, view. And we can't thank you enough. And so if you want to connect with us, you can always head over to our Discord server, because again, we always want to continue this conversation over there. So make sure you subscribe to our Discord server by heading over to Live Free and Ham. link is down in our footnotes there, and you can grab that there and come enjoy it and be part of the fun. We got some awesome stuff going on there, and we always invite and encourage everybody to come hang out with us. And as always, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, catch all the awesome content there, and leave us a review with either our SMS link or a, you know, our voicemail, or send us an email or a win link, or God forgive us, we pigeons. Pigeons, fine. If you can send them to Paul, he'll gladly accept them. I mean, he's got chickens and goats and everything else like that, so pigeons are no big deal. So with all that, you know, and you can always support our show. So if you want to get on the inside stuff, and you want to see all of the antics that happen, especially with this show in the background, you know, you can see all the uncut stuff there by joining our Patreon. And you can see those links over on our site. And, you know, you can always head over to livefreeandham.com to learn about our show, pick up some swag, and check out all of our hosts' contact info over there. And as always, thanks again for listening from all of us and our guests here at Live Free and Ham. 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.
7-3. 7-3. 7-3.